This is KVNF's regional newscast for Tuesday, November 9th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Delta County Health Department has reactivated its COVID dashboard. In a Monday press release, Darnell Placewise stated, quote, "Providing as much information as possible is vital in helping residents make the best possible decisions on how they can keep their families healthy." Four women across four different age ranges died from COVID in the past week, bringing the COVID death toll in Delta County to 88. From November 2nd through November 8th, the county reported 149 new cases with a positivity rate of 13.5%. Delta Health currently has 10 individuals hospitalized with 83% ICU bed utilization. As of November 4th, Colorado's daily case rate, 49 per 100,000, was the fifth highest in the nation and among the fastest growing. Delta County Health Department and all Delta Health clinics are offering pediatric COVID vaccines and COVID boosters. Montrose County Public Health and Peak Professionals are partnering to temporarily open a mass COVID vaccination clinic at Friendship Hall in Montrose this Friday, November 12th, and Saturday, November 13th, offering boosters and first doses. You can check your county health department website for more info. A new pilot program to help struggling Colorado homeowners make past due mortgage payments is now offering up to 3 months of payment assistance. The Emergency Mortgage Assistance Program provides funds that don't have to be paid back, similar to the Rental Assistance Program. In March, Congress set aside $10 billion for housing aid in the American Rescue Plan. You can learn more about the program at cdola.colorado.gov. The Colorado Sun reports there were 361 foreclosure filings in the state during the third quarter, up over 25% from Q2 and up over 86% from the third quarter of last year. Carolyn Payne is chair of the CASA Task Force for the Delta Chapter of International Nonprofit Service Organization, Altrusa. CASA, the court-appointed special advocates of the 7th Judicial District, will soon open First Place on Palmer Street, a two-story home in Delta providing permanence for youth emancipating from foster care. It's an expansion beyond the Montrose facility, which KVNF reported on recently. I asked Carolyn about Altrusa's efforts to support the new location in Delta with their first apartment shower, which runs through November 15th.
It's been doing well. We're getting nice support from the community. It's very exciting to see what people pick as far as the items to furnish the apartments. We have what we're calling giving trees. We're using that concept, and we actually created about 300 tags that have a picture and an item description of things that are needed for the apartments. And we have placed those tags on giving trees throughout the community. There's 9 locations within Delta County that have tags, so people can go into the location, take a tag. If it happens to be a retail location, they can actually purchase the item there and then leave the item with the location. We also have tags at Alpine Bank and Bank of Colorado in Delta, as well as at the Chamber of Commerce in Delta, and those items are you would take the tag, purchase the item, and then bring it back to that location. There are items that aren't, obviously, you can't purchase those at a bank. So there are things like sheets, shower curtains, things like that, that the retail locations don't have. And the retail locations that have tags are Clubs, Delta Hardware, Paonia Home and Farm Supply, Hotchkiss, Ace Gamble, Dependable Lumber, and Paonia.
And Big John's Ace and Cedar Edge.
And Big John's and Cedar Edge. You're right. Thank you.
That's Carolyn Payne, chair of Altrusa International of Delta's CASA Task Force. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Green burials are becoming more popular as people realize just how resource-intensive, toxic, and expensive traditional burials have become. Kate Redman brings us this interview with two women who are launching a new green burial nonprofit in the North Fork Valley.
The way in which people were buried for thousands of years before the world became industrialized is having a resurgence of interest. In the North Fork Valley, Carolyn Ringo, a writer, celebrant, home, funeral guide, and death midwife, and Janice Thorup, a retired writer and educator who became interested in green burials out of her own desire to be buried in a green fashion, have started a nonprofit to help people transition to natural burials. They stopped by the studio to discuss the difference in current burial methods, including embalming. I asked them to start by telling me what else is in embalming fluids besides formaldehyde.
It's a carcinogen, for one thing, that eventually leaches into the soil and endangers the health of morticians.
It also includes methanol and benzenine. Embalmers have a much higher rate of leukemia and ALS and a shorter lifespan than the average person.
One of the main reasons for embalming is so that loved ones can view the deceased in an open casket service. But Ringo says the chemicals are not needed.
You can keep the body refrigerated, and in the case of a home funeral, keeping the body at home, you can put dry ice under the torso, which counts as refrigeration, and the body looks fine for up to 7 days.
I read a recent social media post that called natural burials satanic. Clearly, the intimacy with which families involve themselves in their beloved's interment calls up strong emotion. Hindus and Buddhists prefer cremation, but there is no specific Christian doctrine on burial guidance.
I think in our culture, we've become really squeamish about death. There's certainly no Christian doctrine against green burials, and I think there is a fair amount of support in the Christian community for that. And green burials invite the involvement of families as participants, not just witnesses in the work of burying the dead. Bodies remain at home for a day or two or three or up to a week while the family gathers to grieve together.
And because caring for the environment doesn't end with the death of our body, a green burial is one where there's no interference with the body's simple and organic return to the earth, and just a minimal disturbance to the land, placing the body in the ground with only biodegradable materials, and only a natural flat stone marker with name and dates, or maybe a little wood marker, is all that's allowed. So then there's just walking paths and a place where people can connect more with nature.
The bottom line is that current traditional funeral and burial practices are expensive and resource intensive.
The resources that a conventional burial uses are significant. You talked about the often tropical woods that go into making caskets that are sometimes shipped halfway across the world. There's the concrete, there's all the metal that gets buried, plus the fluids.
A traditional burial produces 250 pounds of carbon, whereas a green burial sequesters 25 pounds of carbon over time. The vaults are made of concrete and metal, and they're only made in two places in the United States, so they get shipped a long ways and then put into the ground forever, basically.
One concern about burials that do not involve wood or metal caskets, embalming, and concrete vaults is that the quick decomposition of bodies promotes diseases. However, the World Health Organization and the CDC have both asserted that this is not the case. Ringo and Thorup have been working together since the spring and are in the process of becoming a nonprofit, naming their organization, and looking for land, which will appear not as a cemetery but a nature preserve. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
We are linking to contact info on our website at kvnf.org. That does it for Tuesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.